Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because now everybody can snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Dr. Rima Labo, and we have some callers on the line here that we would like to take. A person in a 323 area code, you are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
I'm somewhat fabulous, and how about yourself?
I am pretty well. I'm calling from Palm Springs, California.
All right, man. What's on your mind today?
Well, great show, as always, so thank you very much. I actually had two questions for the doctor. The first is as far as doctors and their responsibility, and she was talking about what the first thing she learned in medical school. And do all doctors kind of have to make some sort of ethical leap and end up doing a lot of things that they know they are wrong, and how do they justify that?
Let me take that first question. It sounds like there's another one behind it. All
Thank
doctors
you.
Don't have to do anything. All of us, each and every one of us, has the right to act ethically if we choose to, and the responsibility, I believe, to explain the difference between that ethical action and an unethical action. I refused to do anything in medical school, in residency training, in fellowship training, which was the specialty training in psychiatry that I did, or thereafter that I believed to be wrong. And for I'll give you an example. I was accepting medical insurance when I had a practice an hour north of New York City, and 85% of the services that I was rendering for people who wanted them, that the insurance companies had already verified were covered by those policies that people had paid for, 85% of what I was doing was no longer paid for by insurance because they were cheating doctors like me. And so I was rendering 100% of my services for 85% of my fees that were due me, and I had to pay my staff and my rent and eat and buy gas for my car and stuff like that. And so I said, no, I will not accept insurance any longer. I can give services away for free. People can pay me if they like, and I'm not going to play this game any longer. And people said to me, you have to. You'll go out of business. I said, terrific, I'll sell shoes. No high school level clerk or less is going to tell me what's medically necessary for my patient. I will decide with my patient what we wish to do, and if the medical system does not allow me to do that, then I don't want to be part of the medical system. Now, was I cutting my own throat economically? Everybody told me I was. In fact, I never, never had such a full office as when I stopped having to say, I'm sorry, your insurance company doesn't cover this, so they will not support your medical treatment. So I chose to do what I believed was right. No doctor has to do anything that he or she doesn't believe is right. If they're cowardly, if they're lazy, if they prefer to bend their knee, bend their neck, bow, and expose their rears to be invaded as cowardly slaves, then that's their choice, sort of. Because the real power doesn't lie with the doctor, who's only a servant. The real power lies with the patient who owns their own body, who says, no, I don't want to do that, and I don't want you to do it to me, and I want the other thing. And no, my insurance company doesn't pay for it. Okay, I won't take a vacation this year. I'll do what I know to be good for me, my body, my children, whatever. It's up to us, you see. I don't believe the doctors or anybody else have to make these choices unless somebody's holding a gun to your head, which is a special circumstance that rarely occurs.
Right. Thank you. And you were talking earlier about what is, you know, our personal responsibility versus what's going on in the world. And I wanted to ask you that to elaborate on that, because this happens to me in my regular life. I long ago got rid of fluoride and did all organic, and I'm doing the best I can, and people are telling me that I'm looking younger as I get older, and I'm healthier and happier and all of this, and these people are still using fluoride toothpaste and doing all the things that are poisoning them. And I even with the toothpaste, I just say, read the back. It says that more than a brushful is swallowed, you should call a poison control center. Why is that good for you? And they just shake their heads and say, I don't know. And so my question is, where is my responsibility for my fellow man? How hard do I fight them? Or do they have their own life, and if they want to poison themselves, I just have to love them and let them do it?
Could I venture an answer at that
absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
How hard do you fight? As hard as you fracking can, mate. These are good, decent people who are just brainwashed. And don't be angry with them, okay? Because then
they're not angry,
angry with you. And I think it's like sometimes it becomes sort of like a hopeless one. And I look at it like this. It's like there's a scatter pattern, like a cluster bomb of information. And just think of yourself as a grenadier. You throw one little information grenade in, boom, and you walk away, let it explode in their face. And it won't be just you who gives them that information that suddenly makes them wake up and go, oh my God, I'm a slave. I need to get the fluoride out of my toothpaste and my water and so on and so forth. It'll actually be a second, maybe even a third or a fourth person that they encounter that says the exact same thing that you did to them that makes them click and just go, oh my God, he was right. So don't think that.
Statistically, Vinny, it will be the seventh person. In fact, we human organisms learn by frequency and repetition. So when you say something and it goes absolutely nowhere, the likelihood is that if there are six more repetitions, and this is an experimental psychology fact that's been replicated over and over and over in laboratories and social science experiments, by the time the seventh truth, same truth, gets there, the person says, wow, you know what I think? I think blah, 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 blah. And you say, yeah, but I told you that. And they say, I don't remember that.
Right.
I get that with my missus all the time. See, what it is, all you got to do is just play your part in the scheme. Say that one thing to that one person and then just leave it for other people to talk to them about it. Say something different, you know? Because I remember when I was getting really angry with my family because they wouldn't wake up, they wouldn't listen to me, that kind of thing, and I started getting aggressive with them. What I found is I was just alienating myself. And so I had to try and remember, oh my God, I used to get along with my family. I used to really love them and care about them, and now I'm turning into this really bitter little scumbag. What did I used to get along with them and do with them about? Oh my God, we used to have lots of good meals together. We used to play cards together. We used to do this, that, and the other. So what I was doing is I was mixing and matching, giving them a little bit of truth, but at the same time reminding them and also reminding myself that I'm still the same guy. I'm still good and fun to hang out with, and so that they don't get sick of you.
And there's another piece of this too. I closed my very, very successful private practice of drug-free medicine, which, by the way, not only gave me an income, but gave me enormous joy, because typically my patients were those people who were told that they had no hope whatsoever and that they should go home and die or live with the pain or whatever, and they became robustly healthy, vibrantly well people. And that's a great joy for a doctor, and most doctors, of course, because they limit themselves to allopathic poor medicine, never see that. They never cure anything. But so I had this wonderful practice, and my husband, General Burt, and I were working together and doing marvelous things, earning a living, traveling and skiing and doing all that good stuff that we love. And I became aware that I was now confronting evil through my knowledge. And I have spent a whole lot of time saying, how is it that evil can happen in the world? How is it that ordinary people can allow holocausts not just Germany, but Cambodia and China. And we have an endless history of Holocaust. If you really want to look at them, they've gone on for a long time. How is it that they happen? And it's because, as Edmund Burke said, all that's required for evil to triumph is for ordinary good men and women to do nothing. So I said to myself, okay, I get it. If I understand that evil is being perpetrated and I do nothing, then I am a part of the evil. Can I live with myself as a part of a genocidal evil? There's no debate here. No, I cannot. And so we closed our practice. We sold our home, which we loved, and we created the Natural Solutions Foundation to confront in many, many different ways, politically, educationally, situationally, in terms of solutions and many different activities, to confront and to neutralize, dissolve, and replace the evil with something that sustains life. Now, not everybody is going to make that same decision, but the point is everybody who is confronting evil is going to make their own decision, and they're going to do it. And ultimately, they're going to shift the balance of powerlessness to powerfulness, and the evil goes away. Not magically, but through hard work and repetition. Your repetition. You're telling these people, you know, whenever anybody says anything really stupid to me politically or naive or tells me that the globalists are really right in some way, I say to them, what do you brush your teeth with? And they say, what? And I say, you need a new toothbrush, because you're fluoridating your capacity for judgment. And they say, what? And then I can talk to them about fluoridate. And believe me, they go looking for a new piece of toothpaste, new tube of toothpaste after that, because, oh my God, suppose she's right. I made it personal and I made it imperative. I didn't just talk about a concept. I personalized it. They don't necessarily like me after that, but if I ever see them again and if they still talk to me, they're not brushing their teeth with a fluoridated toothpaste anymore, yeah, et cetera.
Right. Right. Well, thank you, Doctor. You've really inspired me. One of the things I tell people in this debate about fluoride, I often say, well, if fluoride is so good for us and they put it in to help us all, why don't they put vitamin C in the water too? Because they know we all need vitamin C, but they don't do that. And there's no side effects for vitamin C.
Well, one of the things that I find, yeah, side effects for vitamin C are health and an enhanced immune system, and we wouldn't want that because it's really bad business. One of the things that I tell people, they say fluoride, but they've all been proselytized by their dentists and the American Dental Association and the FDA about how good fluoride is for your teeth. So why should they believe me that fluoride is actually bad for your teeth and your bones and your pancreas and all that stuff? So I say, you know what? Fluoride is not the only thing that goes into your water. In order to make the water sparkle when it has fluoride in it, the water companies add aluminum. They say, aluminum? Isn't that poisonous? And I say, yes. And as a matter of fact, aluminum and fluoride together are synergistically 1,000 more times poisonous each than they would be at the same dose if the other one weren't there. Now, that is a new fact. So that you're not just dunning the same old fluoride, 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 which is banging up against fluoride's good for you, fluoride's good for you, fluoride's good for you. And instead, now you have, they're putting poisons in my water, and you've penetrated the system. So I always try to add something novel to the old argument, because it helps people hear a little bit better.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Doctor. I've already been on your website. I'm looking forward to exploring all the information, and I'm participating in your mission, and you've inspired me. And Vinny, I can't tell you how many lonely days I've spent with you, and you've kept my chin up. So thank you both very much.
No worries, man.
That was terrific. Right. May I say one more thing to that caller and to everybody else? Okay. I want to give you three magic words. that give you endless power?
Please.
Disseminate, disseminate, disseminate.
Which is also, incidentally, a brand of spermicidal lubricant that you can buy at any health store. All right. Let's go to our next caller now. Nathan in the 480 area code, you're on the air.
Hey, Benny. Thanks for taking my call. It's Nathan. Just wanted to say to both of you guys, I really feel that, you know, I am spot on with your guys' agenda, and I agree with everything you guys are doing. When you first came on, Doctor, you stated that the Agenda 21 documentation was being, well, it was more scarcely found on the internet, and that you offered that on your website. Could you direct the listeners to that a little bit more?
Sure. The website is www.truthaboutagenda21.com, and on there we have a free ebook for you to download about derailing the globalist agenda, which we can do, by the way. And
is this book as well that I'm holding up to the webcam for the YouTube listeners? Rosa Corey's book, Behind the Green Mask, You Win, Agenda 21, exposes practically everything you could ever conceive of that you really need to know about this agenda.
And so that's the primary documentation that you're talking about?
The primary documentation, there's a link on truthaboutagenda21.com that will take you to the primary documentation. It is becoming harder and harder to find. So I don't have a link memorized, but it's there on truthaboutagenda21.com.
Okay. I'll keep looking, and I'll look elsewhere as well. And then the fluoride and aluminum, just real quickly here, I have, you know, some people saying that aluminum is found abundantly on the Earth's crust, you know, just naturally. And then I hear, like, the chemtrail kind of thing going on, saying that aluminum is, you know, put there on the ground. Do you know anything about that?
I know.
Don't have any opinion.
Well, we'll get into that just after the break. Nathan, thank you for your call. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few minutes at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Dr. Rima Labo is my guest. 218-339-8525. This is the fluoridation theme song. There must be some way to get the fluoride out of the water. Said a joker to the city councillor guy. Okay, now Nathan, we've still got you on the line there, and he wanted us to address something along the line. Nathan, you wanted us to address something. What was it to do with aluminium? Like, what do you say to people when you tell them that there's aluminium or aluminum, as the American pronunciation goes, is contaminating, say, your water and the chemtrails and stuff like that, and they respond by saying, oh, but it's found naturally everywhere. It's not naturally found in your drinking water. Do you know how much concentration of aluminium in your drinking water you need in order to classify that water as undrinkable? It's like one part per million.
Are you asking me?
All over the place?
Are you asking Nathan?
You.
Me, okay. Fluoride should not be present in drinking water any more than
arsenic
should be present in drinking water, or aluminum. We have evolved a minor capacity to get rid of toxic substances from our body. We can easily overwhelm that. It was Paracelsus, the great Renaissance, German-Swiss-born Renaissance physician, who was also a botanist and an alchemist and an astrologer and an occultist, who founded the discipline of toxicology. He created the understanding that it is dose that makes the poison. And if you have a very, very, very tiny amount of something, we can handle it. So it's not truly poisonous to us. But if you don't, if you have a large amount of it or larger than you can handle, and that will be different based on biochemical individuality, then it becomes a poison. So aluminum is something that we can handle a teeny, teeny, tiny amount of. Mercury is something that we can handle a teeny, 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 tiny amount of. Lifetime dose. Same thing is true with ionizing radiation. But when you overwhelm our ability to handle it, you poison us. You kill us. You create Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease was unknown until about 130 years ago. Why? Not because people didn't live to be old. They did. But because they didn't have their brains poisoned with aluminum when they lived to be old. Now, if you live to be 80, your chance of developing Alzheimer's is 1 in 2. If you live to be 85, your chance of developing Alzheimer's is 1 in 1/2. In other words, pretty well going to develop Alzheimer's unless you detoxify by chelation and other strategies. We're being bombarded with chemtrails that have a huge amount of aluminum, which is toxic to us and changes the soil organism, so it's very toxic. We're being bombarded with beryllium, which is toxic, with arsenic, with semi-synthetic DNA. Nobody knows quite how toxic that is, but you know it's not good. We're being bombarded with partial red blood cells, which destroy our immune system by overloading it. We're being bombarded by sticky goo forming chem nets. Nobody on the outside of that monstrous conspiracy knows exactly what that is and what it's going to do, but it does seem to kill everything it touches. We're being, our immune systems are being degraded so that we can be, what, attacked by the next plague? Killed by the next vaccine? I don't know, because they don't call me up and say, hey, Dr. Label, let me tell you what we're going to do next. They do seem to announce what they're going to do next in some very strange ways. I've observed that it seems as if they have a requirement to tell us what they're going to do in fiction or decks of cards or movies or novels or whatever. And then when nobody says, you can't do that, they do it. But that's another show, too. So the point is that, yes, aluminum is very, very abundant in the Earth's crust. It is the most common element in the Earth's crust in the form of bauxite. But aluminum in our food, our water, our cells is highly, highly toxic. I hope that answers the question.
Nathan, does that answer your question?
Yeah, you know, I'd heard things with, you know, humic shale as far as using that, you know, in gardening and amending your soil and things like that, that, you know, although it has wonderful amounts of what trace minerals and things like that, it also has high concentrations of aluminum, and you have to somehow be aware of that and calculate that into, you know, what ends up in the end product in your garden and what you eat, you know, especially, you know, we're dealing with different body sizes. You know, my 5-year-old girl, she's just getting off of chemotherapy, so we're really focused on all this stuff. And, you know, so that's
the sort of... Did you say your daughter is finishing up chemotherapy?
Yeah, which has really ravaged her she has an iron deficiency now. She still has her port in, which is going to be coming out pretty soon. But you know, we're trying to you know, base everything. Excuse if there's noises. But we're basing everything out of our home as far as what we grow and things like that. Aquaponics, called on a few times talking about that. But at the same time, we don't know where we can send, you know, the the fruits and vegetables off to a lab to be able to test. I know there's a BRIC test that we can get that will tell us somewhat of the nutrient content, but, you know, as far as submitting it to a lab.
I have bad news for you. Where do you live?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Uh-huh. One-third of the food in North America comes from the Central Valley of North America. That's British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, California, and Mexico. The Fukushima drift and the water that they're pouring into Fukushima and then dumping into the Pacific Ocean means that the Northern Hemisphere is inevitably and increasingly radioactively contaminated. Radiation is something that there is no safe dose for, none, zero. We could talk about that. The fact is, bottom line, there is no safe dose of radiation. We have a small ability to detoxify or to correct the DNA damage from a small amount of ionizing radiation. Your food is radioactive. Your water is radioactive, and your air is radioactive. I am so sorry that your child has shown you how vulnerable the human organism is. You will continue, unless you have a completely hermetically sealed growing environment for everything you eat, and you can filter out the water and filter the water and filter the air efficiently, and then dispose of the radioactive precipitate efficiently and safely, you will continue to be exposed to radiation. I have advised people who take this seriously, and all you have to do is buy yourself a Geiger counter to show this. Get yourself a Geiger counter. Go to Amazon.com, buy the cheapest Geiger counter there. They all work. They all measure radiation. It doesn't matter which type of radiation you're measuring. Use the same instrument. You'll watch the radiation go up. You'll listen to the clicks go, and you'll watch the numbers get higher and higher, and you will say to yourself, my God in heaven, I have to get out. And the answer is yes, you do. And you have to go as far south away from the radiation flow as you can and eat as organic food as you can, because you can eat 100% organic food in the Northern Hemisphere, and that food will be organic, free of chemicals to the extent that it is, and radioactive. So, why am I in Chile? Vinny didn't ask. I live in Chile because the Natural Solutions Foundation decided that it was imperative to create a low radiation certified organic commercial food supply for people like you who get it while they're figuring out how to get out. You and your daughter and everybody you care about are in terrible peril. I've been writing about that. General Burt has written about that. You might want to look up Fukushima estimate of situation. Now, that video is 15 months old. Just multiply it by 10. The situation is much worse. However, it's a primer. It'll get you started. Fukushima estimate of situation. You are not in a safe place. I'm so sorry about your daughter, but the fact is that more and more and more and more people are being diagnosed. As a matter of fact, I have another website. It is www.endcancerpandemic.com. I'm asking people who have or who know about cases of sudden onset, late stage cancer. That is, somebody goes to the doctor and their first diagnosis is, oh my God, you have highly aggressive stage 4 cancer. First diagnosis, late stage, sudden onset is the discriminator. I'm asking people to put information in there to let us track those cases without identifying the victims, because it's a pandemic that is not being discussed well beyond even the pandemic of cancer. You're not safe. Your child is not safe. Your wife is not safe, and you have to decide how important it is to save your life and get out, detox, and get safe, or stay where you are, where you know where your friends are and your family and your job and your shopping and all that stuff, and know that it's not over. Fukushima will never stop spewing radiation, ever. And the mainstream media, please don't make me vomit.
Well, Nathan, there's some sad truth in there for you, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like you said, we're all incandescent light bulbs. You know, we've got another girl on the way due July, late July here, and we're trying to figure out how to go about that one.
See, this dovetails with another article that that came out, is that I think there was a problem with having babies, like stillborns, like went up massively, and heaps of problems with reproduction right after Fukushima happened.
In the first 9 months after Fukushima, the United States documents showed a death rate increase that could not be explained by any other means, of 20,000 otherwise healthy babies in the first 9 months. And then the United States government did what they and the Canadian government have done with their radiation tracking. They turned off the tracking because they want to be able to say, we don't see any harm to human health. Well, if you turn off the devices and you stop counting, you won't see it. There was a news article 2 weeks ago, a scientific journal article that said one-third of the children born on the West Coast since Fukushima have serious thyroid abnormalities. There's just no way around it.
Well, that's pretty scary. Yeah, we're definitely not going to vaccinate, and I think that that's what what happened with our daughter. She got 5-1 when she was 1 year old, and we were just a little uneducated at that time, and Advaricunium definitely played a big part of our life, that logical fallacy. So yeah, God, I would just say thank you for your work, and everything that you said about trying to pretty much create a bubble is what we're trying to do down here. We don't have much options other than that right now, and then trying to show everybody and demonstrate, you know, how to do that once we actually get a working system going, you know, to try to at least lower it, you know. But primary documentation is a huge thing we need to be on top of. I feel to be able to, because everybody is they need that appeal to authority. That's the way we are indoctrinated. So you guys are talking about, you know, it takes 7 times to finally get it across to somebody. From several different sources probably. Well, you know, that's true, and so we have to keep coming up with really creative ways of doing that. And Vinny, I really commend everything you're doing. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Well, Nathan, thanks very much for your call, man. The whole 1 in 7 thing, it just reminds me, all I got to do is just play my part, be one out of those 1 in 7 people, because a lot of people, they take responsibility for trying to wake people up, and they don't realize that that's not possible. You know, you personally can't wake somebody up. A lot of people say that, though. They go, oh, you woke me up or something. It's like, dude, did I sit down and force you at gunpoint to watch 160 documentaries inside of a year? No, I didn't, did I? So who woke you up? Wasn't me. It was 7 people that said similar things to you that got you thinking, that got you waking yourself up, all right? And you are to be congratulated.
And I want to say something else about that, and I agree with you completely, and that is that you never know what the one phrase, the one turn, the one concept, the one moment of communication is that makes it for someone, makes it real, and then they wake up.
Yeah, exactly. Just play your part, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take personal responsibility for other people waking up, because that's a waste of frickin' time. Just take personal responsibility for playing your part. That's all you got to do. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, 218-339-8525. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's our a final segment of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's just gone, gone. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we can't do you a 3 hour show just yet. Well, I would like to ask, actually, because in order for me to do a 3 hour show, and the network owner has allowed me to, we need like a big shuffling going on. Like, I could do an earlier slot, but that means I have to get up real early in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. It's just not my bag, man. I'm a late night guy. I like to stay up late till 6 o'clock in the morning, editing like 12 videos together or something like that, and uploading them, and having more YouTube hits and more videos than anybody else in this fracking country can be bothered making, because it's just a bunch of useless people who can't be bothered staying up late and losing some sleep just to save humanity. It's like, what's more important, a good night's sleep or being exterminated? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. A little bit of sleep deprivation ain't that bad for you, man, especially if it prevents your orderly extermination. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. Is there a medical expertise? I don't know. But you know, hey, look, it's the lighter side of genocide. And in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose that sense of humor, you'll go frickin' nuts. And that's the problem with a lot of truthers, man. Like, they think just because we're in a seriously deadly situation that you suddenly need to forget about everything that is joyful and happy and brilliant in this world. Don't forget that. That's the most important thing to remember. And keep reminding yourself of it as often as you can, so that all of these terrible things that you learn about don't freak you out, because when you freak out, you stop doing anything about them.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
What's people's problem? Don't know. It's their problem, not mine. I've solved my problem, or at least parts of it, and I'm still working on the rest. I'm sure I'll get there eventually. You know, it's a process. It's a process. You know, like depression or therapy. You know.
Well, so, do you have any more callers?
No, we don't, actually. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, 218-339-8525 is the call in line if you want to ring in. But the other element that I want to talk about here is, it's just, health is so very important, and people forget that health is not just of the body, it's also of the mind, okay? And you can not only just ingest toxic substances that make you dumb, you can actually ingest toxic substances that make you depressed, that make you psychotic, even, and this is something I think Dr. Catherine Albrecht told me, you can even ingest substances that can turn you gay, right? There is, like pharmaceutical drugs and stuff like this. And I found that really interesting, that they can have that much effect. And I came up with a joke yesterday. What do you call a drug that you can give somebody that turns them gay? My Chemical Bromance. Now, we have a caller on the line here. Kale in the 954 area code. You are on the air.
Vinny, how are you doing, my man?
Yes,
you have a great show. I listen to it. I like your guests. This guest is like all of them. They're pushing the envelope, and that's what we need to hear. But I want to ask a question, if I can, and that would be, as far as the with the situation we're in down here, it's beyond ridiculous. It's like that rabbit hole is so deep, and the more you learn, you realize the more you don't know what's going on. But you know, what we never really talk about enough, although there's a lot of misinformation out there, is, yeah, we have some psychotic people, if you want to call them that, kind of calling the shots, so to speak. Now, is it possible that while these people are still in power, that what really is going on behind the scenes is that, yeah, there's also a loving force, and we do have help on higher dimensions that are intimately connected not only with the earth but with humanity, and that there is going to be a huge, maybe it's tied in with the event, there is going to be a huge breakthrough that's going to turn this whole friggin' mess around. I wanted to know if your guest, and I'm looking at her website, so I forgive me if I got your name wrong right now. I do want to address you by your name, because what you're doing is, Dr. Rima, is phenomenal. But I want to know what your take on that is, on the higher powers that be, that have to be obviously involved in this situation. Yes, humanity has to step up to the plate. But, I mean, look, we didn't get into this mess by ourselves, and obviously we're going to need some help to get out of it. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I make a huge distinction between what I believe, no matter how strongly I believe it, and what I know. So I prefer to keep my public comments to what I know and keep what I believe private, because it's a matter of my personal personal choice to believe or not believe, trust or not trust this or that. What I do know for sure is that whether there are higher powers involved that got us into this mess or will get us out, whether there are other forces or not, and that's a matter of belief, no matter how passionate that belief might be, there is a personal and a group responsibility that we have to exert change efforts, to make the difference, to do the things that are right and to not do the things that are wrong. You and I might disagree on some details of what's right and wrong, but we're probably going to be pretty close on the big things, like, is it right or wrong to slaughter large numbers of people because you've decided for one reason or another that they're in the way? Both of us are going to decide it's wrong.
Exactly. There's no excuse for
right.
that.
So, it, intolerable. Therefore, whether there's a higher power or a lot of higher powers or no higher powers, we are empowered. We are the force. We are the active agents that choose right or wrong. The thing that I have problems with when we get into higher powers is, okay, they'll take care of it. I think that our responsibility, whether they exist or not, whether they're interested or not, whether it's Space Brothers or the Easter Bunny or whatever, or God, you know, take your pick, or Goddess, I don't care. Whatever it is, we have, I believe, and this is a belief, enormous personal capacity, that's a knowledge, and enormous personal responsibility, that's a belief. I don't know with scientific certainty that we have responsibility, but I believe that we do. I know with scientific certainty that we have enormous capacity, because when we choose to exercise that capacity individually and in a group, we shape the world. And that's our responsibility, I believe, to shape it so that it supports and sustains and enfolds and holds all of us.
I've got three things to say on this particular subject. And I was listening to Mark Passio, and he says that having a conscience is actually nothing to do with, you know, per se right or wrong. It's about actually having enough knowledge so that it's not a belief system of what's right and wrong. It's a definite system of what's right and wrong. It's about having the enough knowledge to figure out, based on factual evidence, what is right, what is wrong, that kind of thing. You know, I don't want to hurt nobody because I don't want anybody to hurt me, and that's really how it works. And belief, in my opinion, equals survival in a lot of cases. Those who lose their belief or lose their faith are often destroyed from within, because they lose faith in themselves first, and then as soon as they start to believe in their own negative thoughts and everything like that, they start to lose faith in everything else, and then they become completely disempowered. And it reminds me of when my brother taught me to drive. He said, "Vinny, you're in full responsibility now, and you're in this driver's seat, and you can kill me if you make a mistake when I'm sitting in this passenger seat. You have to assume that everybody else on the road is an idiot and that they'll do something crazy and take personal responsibility for it." And I thought that was a very profound piece of advice. Assume that everybody else is an idiot, and the only person driving on the road who knows what they're doing is you. That's belief.
You know, you can believe in many things. People talk about belief as if it has to do with God and supernatural powers and other forces. Or you can believe in you. You can believe in your own empowered state. And then everything else is commentary. And that's the thing that I think is so important, that each of us understand, despite our corporate education, despite our corporate entertainment, despite our corporate media and our corporate food, that we are, in fact, incredibly empowered beings. Once we have that, we have everything.
Well, Gail, I hope that helps.
No, it does help. I wanted to hear that feedback. I just like to affirm. I mean, I think the way we have not only been manipulated continually from every possible friggin' angle, fluoride in the water and da-da-da-da-da-da, or you can name a thousand things, that we are so shut down to the extent that we forget. I really do think that we are so disconnected from our divine heritage, you know, and that, yes, we do have the power. And I see something going to happen where I feel in my gut that something's going to break through that's going to change the game, change the playing field in a big friggin' way.
And so, I don't know, man. That kind of sounds like waiting for a messiah or waiting for somebody else to solve the problems. I think the change really starts in yourself first.
And I agree with that. You'll realize that,
oh, my God, this big thing that I've been waiting for to solve all my problems has actually been me all along.
Yeah, you always got to work on yourself. That's an absolute. I mean, you stop working on yourself, you stop growing. But I appreciate the responses, and you keep up the good work, Vinny. It's phenomenal. And you as well, Dr. Rama.
Thank you.
Yes, Gail. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, bear in mind, this is a listener-supported show, and the bank accounts are down to practically zero. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent next week, and I don't know how I'm going to get food or pay for gas or anything else. So the situation's rather dire here at the Vinny Eastwood Show studio. So please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and set up an automatic payment or make a donation so that you can keep supporting me and the work that I'm doing. Bringing fabulous people like the illustrious Dr. Rima Labo to the airwaves and giving them a nice fun time with many cackles to be had as well, like SaveMyLifeDrRima.com, DrRimaTruthReports.com, so on and so forth. We'll see you again.